Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sukkah daf Yud Dalid. We are holding on daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Elisha left off about four lines from the end of the page. We are at Ikatzan Lachila Maitamayu Drabanan. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by Zchus Refuah Shleima to Beila Bas Rezel. Also sponsored to commemorate the first yard site of Mayor Penstein, Mayor Yosef Ben Avram Zichrono Levracha, someone who's a great lover of Torah and a participant in this shir as well, by his children and grandchildren, whose yard site is on Tu B'Av, Neshama Shleven Aliyah. We miss Mayor very, very much. Also by David Atkin, L'Zeichu Nishmas, his grandfather, Haravram Ben Yitzchak Isaac, whose yard site was yesterday, the Neshama Shleven Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we were in the middle of discussing the concept of yados when it comes to schach. If you cut something l'sikuch, do we assume that the parts of the fruit that would normally only be used as yados to help move it around is considered to be mekabel tuma and therefore pasul l'schach? Or do we assume that no, since you're cutting it l'sikuch, you're not cutting it l'achila, that it's not going to be a havidin of yados? So the Gemara is going to explain a little bit more about that machlokas of yados. Then we're going to see a little bit of one line of Agavata right before the Mishnah about the effect of tfilos on shel tzaddikim, the tfilos of tzaddikim. And then the Mishnah in the middle of Amud Aleph is going to discuss using flat boards for schach. And we're going to have machlokas amoraim, what the machlokas tanaim is about when it comes to boards. How large or small are these boards that there's a machlokas tanaim about? And the Gemara is going to bring two rayas for the shita of Shmuel. And then on Amud Beis, we're going to have different brisos that seem to support Rav and Shmuel. We're going to try to bring rayas to either opinion. And then at the very end of the daf, we're going to discuss what if you have a board that otherwise you normally wouldn't be allowed to use because it's too wide to use as chach for a sukkah, but the board is flipped on its side, so it's not directly right there. So let's begin about four lines from the end of the page. I want to thank Alicia Graf very, very much for covering the daf Yomi over the last 4 weeks here in Shul while I was doing the daf from Camp Kaylee. Now we should be back to regular schedule, Be'ezras Hashem. So we left off really in the middle of a conversation. So just to remind ourselves of the conversation that we were having. So we had said that Rabbi Abba Amar Rav Huna said that if someone's boats are legas, is eino yados. That if a person cuts grapes in order to make wine out of it, so there are no yados because you're not interested in the yados. Then we said coats are leschach. Ein lo yados. That Rav Menashe Bar Gadol, Amar Rav Huna said that if you cut something for, you cut grain in order to use for schach, so we don't view the part of the grain that's right near the kernel of grain to be considered yados, to be part of the grain, to be considered like an ochel. So the Gemara discussed that, ooh, maybe that's a machlokes tanaim, because Braisa told us that sochei te'enim, that if you have branches of figs that have te'enim on them, or parchilin, you have other types of fruits that branches that are fruits on them. So we said it was a machlokas. What do I look at? Do I look at if there's more psolas than ochlin, and as long as there's more psolas than ochlin, it's kosher to use for schach? Or do I look at, no, it's got to be that there's more psolas than ochlin plus yados combined? So it seems like they're arguing whether there's a din of yados or not a din of yados when a person cuts that which has food on it for schach. So the Gemara had said, where we left off, that according to Rabbi Abba, you're right, it's a machlokas tanaim. But Rav Menashe would tell you that no, everyone holds kotzer l'schach as ein lo yados. Over here in the Braisa, where the Acherim disagree and say that yados will be possible for sikuch, that it's talking about going to kotzer l'achila and nimlach alei l'sikuch. That initially you cut it for achila, and then later on you change your mind and you decided instead to use it for sikuch. So picking up right in the middle of that conversation, if we're talking about where you were kotzeitz in order to use it for food, and it has a din of yados right away at the time of the ketzitza, so why would Rabbanan think that the tuma of yados would go away? Maybe you're going to say, kasabi Rabbanan, kibin de nimlach alayen l'sikuch, batalei machshavto, that you're going to tell me, well, once I changed my mind and I decided instead that I want to use it for sikuch, so my original machshava to cut it la'achila is now batal. Well, umi batalei machshava bahachi. Is that enough to be mevatel machshava? Vatnan, doesn't the Mishnah tell us that kol hakelim yardin deituma b'machshava, that in order for a for something to have the status of a kli, machshava is good enough if you decide you want to use it as a kli, even though it may not be fully processed for all uses, but you decide as is, you're dealing with leather, and you could turn this leather into shoes. Right now it's not a shoe, or you can make it a nice table where all it needs to be is flat. So right now you decide that you want it to be a table. So right now it's finished then, because in your mind it's finished. In your mind it's a kli, and therefore it's mekabel tuma. But they ain't only me tumas and el b'shinoi ma'isa. But if you then want to decide that it's not going to be used as a table, you want to decide instead that you want to make a shoe out of it, it doesn't lose its status of kabbalas tuma as is, unless you do something physical to it to indicate that it's not going to be used in its current state. And ma'isa motzi miyad, and the reason is because ma'isa motzi, the rule is ma'isa motzi miyad ma'isa umiyad machshava, that if you do something significant, you do an action that can undo a previous action, and certainly can undo a previous machshava. But machshava ain't motzia lo miyad ma'isa v'lo miyad machshava. But having only a machshava, that's not enough to undo neither a ma'isa nor a previous machshava. So it turns out that once something is tame, once something is considered a kli that is now ra'ui to be mekabel tuma, it doesn't lose that status with only having a machshava. So how could we say that according to the Rabbanan the case is that your kotzer tavua, having in mind that you want to eat it, and in such a case, the yados are now going to have toras tuma because you planned on using it as food, but then you change your mind and you want to use it for sikluch, and then the tuma goes away from the yados. Just because I changed my mind? When I was kotzer, I did a ma'isa, and now my machshava is going to change that and is going to make it lose its status of yados? So the Gemara tries to be mechalik between tuma that affects kelim and the din of yados. V'chi tema, maybe you're going to say, hani mili, that which machshava is ineffective to be motzi miyad tuma is only kelim, the chashivi, that's only talking about kelim, which are chashuv, so when it was ready, it has the shame kli, a machshava is not going to be mafkia the shame kli. Aval yados, but when you have a machshava on yados, dilutzorach achila ninu, where yados is only something that aids in achila, it aids in the yochel, but it's not the yochel itself. So b'machshava nasa, b'machshava salka. Maybe what determines whether something has the status of yados is purely based on machshava. With machshava, it has the status of yados, and with machshava, it loses the status of yados. So the Gemara says, no, but you can't say such a chilek, because v'atnan, the Mishnah tells us, kol yados ha'ochlin, any yados of food, you have straw that's attached to stalks of grain that have a din of yados, so b'shebesasan begoren, if you are besasan in the threshing floor, we'll define what that means soon, but you do something to it, almanas, not to use it as yados anymore, so through that, tahoros, it loses the status of yados, and it becomes tahar. So bish lama leman diyamar besasan hitiri gudan, if the word besasan means that you open up the knot, that you untie them, that these are bundles of tavua, that you untie them in order to now do the threshing on them, so by doing that opening of the knot, you're showing that you don't need the straw to be connected to the grains anymore, so shaper, so then I can explain the way we explained, that opening it up is only considered a machshava, untying it is not considered a real maisa, and nevertheless, it takes away the status of tuma from the yados. So I understand very well that by machshava l'sikuch also, it will take away the status of yados. But besasim means they actually thresh the grain, you have animals stepping on it, so that's a real ma'isa. That disha shows that you don't want it, the straw to be connected to it anymore, because by having the threshing happen, it weakens the connection between the straw and the stalks. so the rest of the grain. So that takes away the status of yados. So according to that, disha is a real maisa that takes away the status of yados. But it sounds like anything less than that, just having a machshava, would not take away the status of yados. So then, Michael Meimar, how are you going to explain the sheet of the Rabbanan if we're talking about that you were kotzei to the shibalim for the sake of achila? How could the Rabbanan say that when you then change your mind with only a machshava to use it for sikuch, that's going to take away the status of yados? It should not take away the status of yados. So I answer Gemara, Hachanami, the Bryce is talking about Shabbosas and Mamish, that you actually did the threshing, and therefore the Rabbanan hold that Maisa is Mafkia, the status of yados, even though you were kotzeitz for Achila. Meaning, who says in the case of the Schach that we're talking about that you didn't do a Maisa, that everything was only Machshava? Maybe Bisas and Mamish, maybe you did a Maisa to take away the status of yados. So says Gemara, no, because then the problem is how you explain the other Shita. Ihachi might have made Rabbanan. If we're talking about that you did a real Maisa to be the status of yados, why would anyone hold that it still does have the status of yados? So after all, isn't a maisa enough to be mafkia the shem yados? So says Gemara, Damak Rabbi Yossi, Tetnan Rabbi Yossi Mitame. Maybe the Acherim are assuming like the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, who disagrees in that Mishnah and holds that even though the Mishnah had said that kol yados halchin shabesasin begoran are tahoros, that when you have yados and then you did an actual threshing on them, that's enough to make it tar, to take away the status of yados. But Rabbi Yossi disagreed. Rabbi Yossi said it's metame. So even though it's besas and mamish, Rabbi Yossi holds it still has a din of tumas yados. And acherim in the braisa hold that way as well. So we'll have to explain what Rabbi Yossi is based on, why it would have a status of yados. You're doing a real maisa to take away the status of yados. But bottom line, there is such a shita, and it could be that acherim hold like that shita. So says Gemara, that doesn't work either, because how can you equate the two? Bishlama hasam, I understand where in the Mishnah where we're talking about a case that after you did the besisa, the tavua remains in the goren. So time with Rabbi Yossi, the logic of Rabbi Yossi is that chazi l'chad Rabbi Shimon Lakish, that it's still ratway to use the yados. You could still have some sort of use for the yados, and that's why you'll still have the status of yados, like Rabbi Shimon Lakish said. That since it's easy, the fact that the yados are still there makes it easy to move around with a pitchfork and to move the grain from one place to another, so it's still going to have a status of yados, even though you already did the threshing. But over here, where you change your mind and you decide to use the tavua for schach, you're not going to need to use a pitchfork anymore. The yados have no function. So the maichazia, how does it make sense that acherim would still say that it has a din of yados? You did a maisa to undo it, and the yados serve no function whatsoever. So says Mar Chazil Chisasa Minkalu Begilayu. Sure, they serve a function. When you take down the sukkah, you'll now be able to hold all of that that straw with the yados. So since you could use it, you could hold it by the stalk. So it makes it easier to take down the sukkah later on. So the status of yados will still exist. Gufa. Now going back to the Mishnah we said before, Kol yados halchon shabesasim begoran tahoros Rabbi Yossi mitame. We had said in Machlokas Tanayim, if you have yados of Ochlin that you then did an actual threshing, you did an actual maisa, Tanakama said, okay, now it's tar, now it loses the status of yados, but Rabbi Yossi says it's metame, it still has the status of yados. My besasan, what did that word besasan mean? What is besisa? So Rabbi Yochanan Omer besasan mamish, it means that you did threshing of the grain. Rabbi Lazar Omer hitir agdon. No, it just means you untied the bundles if there were bundles of grain. So Bishon, the Rabbi Lazar Omer besasan hitir agdon. I understand very well that if all besasan means is that you were matir, you untied the bundles. Hainu de metame Rabbi Yossi. Ooh, so then it makes a lot of sense that Rabbi Yossi would say it's tame because all you did was untie it. That's not a real maisa. That's the equivalent of a machshava. So if something already had a status of yados, to do something so minor like untying it is not going to take away the status of yados. El Rabbi Yochanan, Damar Besasan Mamish, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, that means that he actually did a threshing. Amai Mitame Rabbi Yossi, why would Rabbi Yossi still say it has a din of yados? You actually did a real maisa gomor to undo the status of yados. So Rabbi Shimon Lakish, so that's the original context of what Rabbi Shimon Lakish said, that he said, no, it still has the status of yados because it's still functional as yados. Chados. Since you're able to now move around the grain, maybe not by hand as easily, but because it's so loosened, the connection is loosened, but with a pitchfork, you're able to move around the grain a lot easier because it's still attached to the kashin. So once we mention a pitchfork, the Gemara tells us, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, here's our one line of Agadah for the day, Lamanim shlo tfilasin shlo tzadikim ke'eser. Why do we consider the tfilah of tzadikim like an eser, like a pitchfork? Where do we consider tfilasin shlo tzadikim ke'eser? Vayetar Yitzchak la'ashem. Pasuk describes Yitzchak davin tashem, it's Vayetar Yitzchak la'ashem. So the Gemara is darshaning that it means that in some way Yitzchak's tfilah was like that of a pitchfork. So what? How in the world does tfilah at all relate to a pitchfork? So just like a pitchfork's function is that it's able to flip over grain from one place to another. If you need to move from that side to the other side, you take the pitchfork and you flip it over and it goes to the other side of the room. So too, the tefillah of tzaddikim can change the mind of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, from utilizing midas achzarius to midas rachmanus, from utilizing the more cruel midos to a midah of rachmanus. It's of course the idea of mahapich daito shel Kadosh Baruch Hu, that Kadosh Baruch Hu changes his mind, is very, very difficult to grasp. Meaning, what does that mean? If Hashem decided that this is what needs to happen, and it's something that I don't like very much, that Hashem made this decree, so because I daven, then Hashem says, you know what, you were right, I changed my mind. So it's difficult to understand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's das is perfect, and it doesn't make sense that it would be imperfect in any way, and that he would change his mind at some later point. So that's what the Rishonim already point out, that Tfilas Shel Tzadikim, the idea of a tefillah is that through the tefillah we're changed a little bit, and because we are changed a little bit, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu no longer feels we deserve midas achzarius. Now we deserve midas rachmanus, meaning who I was before I davened is different than who I am now. Before I davened, I was deserving of midas achzarius, but now that I was mistabik l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I connected to Hashem through tefillah, now I'm more deserving of midas rachmanus. So the tefillahs of tzaddikim can do that as well. Why dafka tefillasan shel tzaddikim? More so than tefillahs of anybody, meaning all of our tefillahs work in a similar way. Tefillasan shel tzaddikim, the assumption probably is that when a tzaddik davens for somebody else, the tzaddik is demonstrating that he's hurt by what's happening to the other person. And that's also part of the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, unlike a melech basar v'dam, if down here in a court of law, let's say, they decide that somebody needs to be punished, did his children do anything wrong? Did his family do anything wrong? They're also going to be punished. This person is going to be put in jail, and now he's going to be away from his family, and they're not going to have him around. Everyone around him is going to be punished. But they didn't do anything wrong. He's the one that did something wrong. You know, when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will only allow for something to happen if there's a cheshbon for everybody that's affected by that which is happening. So by a tzaddik davening for somebody else, he's indicating that he's very hurt by what's happening to the other person. So now part of the calculus is, does the tzaddik deserve this to happen to him, that he's going to suffer the pain of this other person being punished? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more likely to use midas Rachmanus, and in that sense, Tfilas and Shel Tzadikim is extremely effective. Okay, so now the Mishnah discusses, we already mentioned what the qualifications for kosher schach are. And really, there were two. It has to be something that grows from the ground and not mekabel tumah. So if you have a whole bunch of 2x4s or large flat panels or boards, l'chora, that fits the category of gidulim in ha'aretz and ain't a mekabel tumah. And really, pshutei kli eitz, flat boards, flat wooden boards, midah oraisa should be fine. We're about to see in the Mishnah a machlokas whether there should be a gzeira not to use them on a drabanan level. It's called a gzeiras tikra, because if it's the type of thing that people would use as roofing material in general, someone will say, well, if my sukkah looks like a house anyway, I might as well just stay in my house. What do I have to go to a sukkah for? And yet the halacha is that you have to be in a sukkah v'lo bebeso shel kol hashanakula. You cannot use your normal house. So mesachim bin asarim div Rabbi Yudah. Rabbi Yudah holds you can use flat boards as schach, and we're not worried that if you do that, then you're going to just stay in your house. Rabbi Meir Oser, but Rabbi Meir says you're not allowed to be misachik with Nesarim, because Nesarim are too similar to your home, and we have to be choshish that you're going to say, Mali Lisakich Beilu, Mali Leishim, Tachas Tikkur Spacey. What difference does it make if I use this chak, or if I just stay home? I might as well stay in my house. So Rabbi Meir was worried about that, and therefore he says you cannot use material that looks too much like your regular home. Nasan Aleh Neser Shu Rachav Arba Tfachim, if you put near the wall over the sukkah a board that is 4 tfachim wide, ksheira, the sukkah is still going to be kosher because you have the rest of the schach kosher that works, because this is utilizing the halacha of Dofen Akuma, that within 4 amos of the wall you could have pasul schach as long as you have kosher schach in the middle, because we'll apply the principle of Dofen Akuma that within 4 amos of the wall it could be metal on top of this, it could be anything, it could be pasul schach, it just can't be avir, but any pasul schach will apply Dofen Akuma. As we've mentioned in the past, there is a machlokas exactly what the mechanics of Dofen Akuma are. Is Dofen Akuma that we assume that the wall that was here is now here, and whatever schach pasul there was on top is now viewed as outside of the sukkah? Or do we literally say it's a Dofen Akuma, that we view the wall, that we view the schach pasul that's going horizontally as if it's vertical, as if it's part of the wall that's it's going right up against the schach kasher. But bottom line is, even the board that's more than the 4 tefachim wide, which normally you should not use, if it's off to the side and it's within 4 amos of the wall, it's perfectly fine. Ubelvad shlish and tachtav. But you cannot sleep under that board, because since it's more than 4 tefachim wide, we're considering it to be like schach pasul, at least on a drabanan level, and therefore you're not allowed to sleep underneath it. So Ziyantav writes, the reason the Mishnah says lo yishan tachtav as opposed to shlo yochal tachtav, right, you're not allowed to use it at all, can't eat there either, is because we are more machmir about sleeping than we are about eating. When it comes to eating, the halacha is a person is allowed to snack outside of a sukkah, but they just can't have an achilas keva outside of a sukkah, whereas when it comes to sleeping, even a shena sarai is usher to have outside of a sukkah. So that's why we use sleeping as the example, even though ironically we make a bracha when we're ochel in the sukkah, we don't make a bracha when we sleep in the sukkah, but nevertheless that's not indicative of a greater level of stringency with achila than shena. That's for a different reason that we don't make a bracha when we sleep in the sukkah, that it's dealt with in poskim, why it is that we don't say such a in Rishonim, why it is that we don't say a bracha on sleeping in the sukkah. Tells us in brachas avidah that we don't say a bracha on sleeping in the sukkah. You might not fall asleep or something like that. Or, you know, that we don't say a bracha, but it's not an indication of the level of chumrah. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that very often Klal Yisrael takes Birchas HaMitzvah so seriously that whenever you're going to take a mitzvah and say, and don't say a bracha on the mitzvah, all of a sudden people stop taking the entire mitzvah seriously. You see that effect, right? 99% of the Rishonim hold that if you miss a night of Sfira Sa'omer, you still have a chiyuv to count Sfira all the other nights. But since we are choshish for the shita that you don't, so we don't say a bracha, right? So we say count all the other nights without a bracha. And what do people do? I'm out. I don't count Sfira anymore. And they stop counting entirely, because that's not the halacha. The halacha is, of course, you're supposed to count. But once you take away the bracha, the attitude people have, that's why people are so much more careful about eating in the sukkah than they are about sleeping in the sukkah, because there's a bracha on eating in the sukkah. Bracha gives it chashivos. That's what Salvation can explain. That's probably why there's the practice in so many communities developed and then spread of not eating the sukkah and Shmini Atzeres in Chutz Laretz. It's a beferish gemara eating the sukkah and Shmini Atzeres in Chutz Laretz. Okay, so some holy tzaddikim had reasons not to do so. But the whole world has to take on that practice. So many people have to take on that practice. Once you're not saying a bracha, once it's Baruch Elam Avarchinan, people take a much more light approach, inappropriately. People treat things more lightly when there's no bracha. So it may be that there's no bracha on sleeping in the sukkah, but throughout the Masechta, we always find that sleeping is treated with a greater level of stringency than eating in the sukkah is treated with. So anyway, so says the Gemara, Amar Rav, Machlokas, the Machlokas, whether you could be Mesakich bin Nesarim, whether you could use boards, is bin Nesarim Sheish ben Arba'a. The Rav Meir is, the machlok is only if it's 4 tefachim wide. So Rav Meir is like Gzeiras Tikra. Rav Meir is choshesh that for Gzeiras Tikra that people are going to say, I might as well just stay in my house. Rav Yehuda has no such chashash. But if they're less than four tefachim wide, then it doesn't even look so much like roofing material, and there's nothing to be choshish for. Reb Meir is apparently not choshish for the miyut, for the minority of people who will make a tikra with boards that are less than four tefachim wide. So the Goros Marsham points out, Reb Meir is not choshish for the miyut. Reb Meir is the one that throughout all of Shas is always choshes l'miyuta. Yivamus kufitas chulun davav. He's always choshes l'miyuta. So says Agos Marsham. You see a klal from here that even Reb Meir is choshes l'miyuta. That's only by matters that involve a lav, an isur lav, or an isur karis. But when it comes to a matter that's only an essay, even Rabbi Meir is not going to be choshes l'miyuta. So yes, it's true. Some people will make roofing material out of things that are less than four tefachim wide, things that are only three tefachim wide. But nevertheless, Reb Meir is not choshesh, so people are going to confuse such boards for their normal homes, because it's a miut of people that would use such boards in the first place. So that's Rav Shita, that the whole machlokes of our Mishnah, whether you could use Nesarim, is if the Nesarim are more than four tefachim wide. Shmuel Amar b'shein ben arba machlokes. No, the machlokes is when they are less than four tefachim wide. Aval yesh ben arba, but if they're more than four tefachim wide, divrei kol psula. Everyone's going to say they're pasul. Shein ben arba. Shmuel said that the machlokes, if they're less than four tefachim wide, how much less? Even if it's less than three tefachim wide, you're going to say that there's some sort of gezeira? Hakana bi'almaninu. That's just stam schach. That's just regular boards. Why would there be a problem? So Amar Rav Papa hachika Amar. No. What Shmuel meant to say is as follows. I mean, Rav Papa tries to touch up and to explain the shita of Shmuel. In fact, the rif is mochiach from the fact that Rav Papa tries to explain Shita Shmuel, that it must be that Rav Papa holds like the Shita of Shmuel. And therefore the Rif says, that's why I'm going to Paskin, like Shmuel over here, which is against the Klalim in Psak. Normally, when you have Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, Hilksa Karav B'Yisuri, Hilksa K'Shmuel B'Dine. This is a matter of Isser V'Heter, so the Halacha should follow Rav. Yeah, but if Rav Papa is going to go out of his way to explain Shmuel, therefore I'm going to Paskin, like Shmuel. The Baal Amar says, no, Rav Papa is not Paskin like Shmuel. Rav Papa is explaining the Shita of Shmuel. Eilu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim. There's value in studying the various Shitos. We study Shitas Beis Shammai also. Doesn't mean we passing like Shitas Beis Shammai. So just because Rav Papa is explaining Shitas Beis Shammai doesn't mean that we pass in that way. That's part of how we engage in Talmud Torah. We try to show that both sides have a point of view and that they're correct on some level, even though Lahalacha, obviously, you're only going to say like one side. So who did say, someone said, what was the line? That Reb Chaim's introduction to what Reb Chaim has contributed to learning a Rambam and a Ravid is that up until Reb Chaim, the way most people would approach a Machlokes Rishon, a Machlokes Rambam and Ravid, is that everyone tried to figure out who's right, who's correct, the Rambam correct and the Ravid correct. And what Reb Chaim showed is that they're both correct. That I think the way they said it is, to put it more sharply, what Reb Chaim contributed is that the Ravid knew how to learn also. That, just because the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam doesn't mean he also had a point of view. You just have to figure out what the point of view is. It may not be that we paskin like that point of view, but just because Rav Papa is explaining Shmuel doesn't mean that he holds like Shmuel. But anyway, so Rav Papa explains Shmuel as follows. If the boards are four tefachim wide, divrei hakol psula, then everyone's going to say it's possible. Pachus mishlosha divrei hakol ksheira, less than four tefachim wide, everyone's going to hold that it's kosher. My taima, why less than four tefachim wide is everyone going to hold kosher? Kana bi'almin, because then it's just regular schach. The whole machlokas is in that small window between three and four tefachim. So Marasavar kivin less than shir makom lo gazrinan, where Rabbi Yehuda will say less than four tefachim is less than a makom chashuv. Makom is defined by four tefachim, and therefore we don't make such a gzeira. We already had this notion earlier in this mesecta that makom is defined by four tefachim back on Daf Yud when we were discussing sukkah al gabe sukkah. So how tall does the top sukkah have to be in order to passel the bottom sukkah, because it's got a sukkah on top of it? So one sheet it was, even if it's just four tefachim high, four tefachim is not a kosher sukkah. Where do we get four tefachim from? Because that's a makom chashuv. So once it's not a makom chashuv, over here the board is less than four tefachim, we're not going to make any sort of gezeira. Whereas Rabbi Meir would hold, it's big enough that it's not lavud anymore, meaning it's more than the shear of lavud would be. Now, obviously, a board would never be lavud. Lavud means airspace. But the point is that you see that the number three tefachim is significant. So if it's more than three tefachim, then it's a significant board, and we're going to consider a gezeiras tikra in such a case. So now says Gemara, now that we have this machlokas Rav and Shmuel about what the machlokas in the Mishnah, what the case in the machlokas in the Mishnah is, are they arguing when it's more than four tefachim, says like Rav says, or are they arguing when it's only between three and four tefachim? Let's try to bring a raya. Who's correct? So Tanan, our Mishnah said Nasal and Nasar Shu Rachav Arba Tefachim Ksheru V'Vachlishin Tachtov. That if you have a four tefach board on top of your sukkah, it's kosher. You just cannot sleep under it. So Bishon L'Shmor Da'amar Bisha Ein Behen Arba Machlokas Avli Yesh Ben Arba Devar Kol Psula. According to Shmuel, that the whole machlokas is when it's less than four tefachim. But if it's more than four tefachim, everyone holds it's going to be possible. Misha machilo yishen tachtav. Now I understand why you can't sleep on it, because it's chach pasul. The sukkah's kosher because you're utilizing dofen akuma, but it's chach pasul. So I understand very well you're not going to sleep under it. El Rav dam b'sheish ben arba machlokas avlein ben arba devar kol psheira. But according to Rav, that the whole machlokas is only when it's more than four tefachim. The Rabbi Yehuda amaylo yishen tachtav. Then why would Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that even more than four tefachim is kasher, why would our Mishnah say not to sleep under it? So says Gemara, Misav Ritivrei Akaldi, Seifa, son of Rameir. Who said that line in the Mishnah about not sleeping under the board follows all the Shitos in Tanaim? Maybe Enochinami. That line in the Mishnah is Dafka going like Shitos Rabbi Meir, that a board that's more than four tefachim is problematic. But Enochinami, Rabbi Yehuda would say, it's not problematic and you can therefore sleep under it. So Tashma, says Gemara, will bring another Raya. If you have Schach Pasel, that's right in the middle of your of the roof of the Sukkah, it will Pasel the Sukkah if it's four tefachim or more. So the Braisa says, Shnei Sadinin Mitzdarfin. If you have two cloths that are each less than four tefachim, but together they make up a space of more than four tefachim, they could be mitzdarif to the shear of four tefachim. But if you put shnei nesarim, if you put two boards, ain't mitzdarfim. Then they're not going to be mitzdarif with each other. Rameir omer af nesarim kisadinim. Then no, boards have the same din as sadinim. So the Gemara is understanding that we're talking about two boards that are each less than four tefachim, that are right in the middle of the sukkah, and together they equal four tefachim. And Rabbi Yehuda holds it not mitzdarif to each other to pass the sukkah, because even if the entire sukkah was made up of boards that were, it would be kosher. And Rameir holds that just like Sadinim are mitzdarif, Nesarim are also mitzdarif to the shear of four tefachim that will then passel the sukkah. So Bishlam, Shmuel, Dom, B'Shem, Ben, Arba, Machlokes, according to Shmuel, that when it's less than four tefachim, when it's between three and four tefachim, that's where we have Machlokes, Avliyesh, Ben, Arba, Debra, Kol, Psula, but if they're four tefachim, then everyone's going to agree that it's passel. So my mitzdarfin, mitzdarfin, Arba, what does Rameir mean when he says that the two boards are mitzdarif? It's mitzdarif to a shear of four tefachim, because once you reach a shear of four tefachim, that's going to be problematic. L'chala deos el Rav, but according to Rav, who says damar b'sheish ben arba machlokas, that even if the board is four tefachim, it's a machlokas. It's not automatically problematic. Avalein ben arba divrei kol ksheira, and when it's less than four tefachim, it's kosher l'chala deos. Say chidami, what type of nesarim are we talking about? Idis warba, if each of the nesarim is four tefachim, lamul tzirufa, you don't need any tziruf. It's already as bad as it can get. It's already four tefachim. And idilas warba, and if each board is less than four tefachim, well, we just said everyone holds that that's chach kasher. Amai, v'akonami almaninu. Why would anyone hold that that's a problem? Why would you be mitzarif them and say, oh, now you have a problem because together they're more than four tefachim? And when you put bamboo shoots, they're also together more than four tefachim. But the point is that each one separately is a piece of schach kasher, and it's perfectly fine. That's the way you're supposed to be misakeh chasuka. So says the Gemara, no, liolam di isbarba. The case is that it is four tefachim. So what do I need siruf for? Umay mitzarfin l'abraham esminatzah. Let's say I have four tefach boards, and I'm assuming that four tefachim is problematic, and I have one board next to the other, to the point that it gets to four amos or more minatzad. So that's what it means that they're mitzarif with each other. So now the Gemara brings a brisa, a raya from a brisa to Shmuel slightly differently. Lishna achrina. Bishlam Shmuel Dam Shem Ben Arba Machlokas, that I understand very well according to Shmuel that the whole Machlokas, when they're less than four Tvachim, Al Yesh Ben Arba Divrei HaKol Psula, but if it's more than four Tvachim, then everyone's going to say that it's Pasul. So my Mitztarfin, Mitztarfin La Arba Amos Min Atzad, meaning then I understand Mitztarfin. Mitztarfin would mean you have a bunch of boards that are each more than four Tvachim, and together they'll add up to more than four Amos starting on the wall of the Sukkah, so that will mean that you're not going to be able to say Dofen Akuma anymore because it's more than four Amos altogether. El Rav, but according to Rav, that the Machlokas is when it's more than four Tvachim. Bishlam the Rav Meir, my Mitzvah from the Safran Arbas from outside, according to Rav Meir, that four Tefach boards are in fact problematic. So yes, then I understand that a series of four Tefach boards, Min Atzad, can add up to more than four Amos and can create a problem. El Rav Yudam Rafi Liyesh Ben Arba Ksheira, but according to Rav's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, that even when it's more than four tvachim, it's still kosher, my ein mitzdarfim. What's the Mishnah telling me by being mechadesh that they're not mitzdarif? Of course they're not mitzdarif. There's nothing to be mitzdarif too. It's kosher schach, kanem bialmaninu. If you hold that boards that are more than four tvachim are perfectly kosher, so obviously you could put one right next to the other. It's not going to make a difference. So says Gemara, I did come ramei mitzdarfin. So sometimes one Tana will use a Lashon in being Cholik with another Tana that's similar to the Lashon of the first Tana. Meaning once Rav Meir used the term Mitztarfin to say you have a problem, Rabbi Yehuda said Ein Mitztarfin. But really, it's not even, there's nothing to talk about in terms of Tziruf. It's just regular Schach. You don't need to use those words Ein Mitztarfin. It's just that Rav Meir sort of set the agenda by speaking in such a language by saying Mitztarfin. Tanya Kavaseid Rav, Tanya Kavaseid Shmuel. Now we have a Braisa that supports each opinion. Tanya Kavaseid Rav, a Braisa that supports Rav, that when it's less than four Tfachim, everyone's going to agree that it's Schach Kasher. So Sikha bin Nesarim Shal Erez, Shein ben Arba Divrei HaKol Ksheira. If you use Nesarim Shal Erez, that's less than four Tfachim wide, everyone holds its kasher. Yesh ben arba, it's only if it has four tefachim, then Rav Meir pulls Rabbi Yehuda machshir. Then you have a machlokas tanayim. So beferish like Rav. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, ma'isa b'shasa sakana, and Rabbi Yehuda says, I'll bring a raya that I'm right, because there was a story once in Shasa Sakana, there was a gzeres shmad, that we were not allowed to observe mitzvos, sheveinu nesarim shayu ben arba'a, and we brought these four tefach wide boards, v'sikach al gabei marpeset, and we used it to be mesakech over our porch area, v'yashavnu takhtein, and we sat in that, and we used that as sukkah, and the authorities weren't on to us, they didn't realize that we were doing the mitzvah of sukkah, but bottom line is, they used boards that four tefachim wide. So don't you see that you're allowed to use boards that are four tefachim wide for sukkah? So Amlo, the Chum said back to Rav Meir, the Chum who held like Rav Meir said back to Rav Yehuda, Misham Raya, ain't Shasa Sakana Raya. You can't bring a Raya from what was done at a Shasa Sakana, at a Shasa Sakana. The whole thing is only a problem midrabanan. On a Daraisa level, everyone agrees that boards that are four tefachim wide are perfectly fine. So obviously at a Shasa Sakana, B'chiyagav, the Lo Gazru, the Rabbanan aren't going to make it. Xeris Tikra, for a situation of a Shasa Sakana. And if there's no other option, so that's the best option, you'll fulfill the mitzvah on the Daraisa level, and you're not going to follow exactly the Dinim Derabanan in a Shasa Sakana. But that doesn't prove what the halacha would be when it's Shalom B'Shasa Sakana. Tanya Kavasei D'Shmuel, Sikha Ben Nesarim Shaler, Sheyesh Ben Arba, Divrei HaKol Psula, Ein Ben Arba, Remeir Pos, Rabbi D'Machshir. But then we have another Braisa that says exactly like Shmuel, that if it's more than four Tvachim, everyone says it's possible. The whole Machlok is if it's somewhere between three and four tefachim. It's interesting, Rabbi Yehuda's talking about using a board made of erez. Rabbi Yehuda's shita later on in this mesechta is going to be that the only thing you're allowed to use for schach is the arba minim shabalulav, that you're only allowed to use one of the four minim of the lulav for schach in the first place. So the achronim are bothered how Rabbi Yehuda could talk about using erez. Yavne Nezer has a fascinating tshuva where the Yavne Nezer said he asked the gaon echad. I don't know who the Yavne Nezer considered a gaon, but he must have been a pretty big gaon. If the Avnei Nezer considered him a gaon, he said he asked Gon Echad, and this Gon Echad told him that Nesarim are a type of Arava, that it's not Arve Nachal, but it's a type of Arava, and anything within the Arava family, Nesarim Shalerez is a type of Arava, anything within the Arava family is not going to be considered a separate min. And the Avnei Nezer uses that to suggest that it therefore also wouldn't be subject to the Yisur Baltosif. Let's say you have Dalaminim Shabalulav, and you take other Aravos that are not Arve Nachal, and you throw them into your Lulav, on top of your kasher arevos, it's not going to be baltosif because it's not considered a totally separate min. And that's what that min ezer uses to be machshir an esrog hamurkav. Because what's wrong with an esrog hamurkav is that it's part esrog, part lemon. But a lemon is a different min. So it's like baltosif, you're taking a lemon together with your esrog. But if a lemon is from the same family as esrog, so then it's not considered a different min, and therefore would not be subject to baltosif. It's baltosif, a very fascinating avnin ezer. Umodir Rabbi Meir, shem yesh bein esrog neser, kum lo neser, shemeniach pesav b'neim uksher. Rabbi Meir holds that if you have the amount of space that would take up in between each board that's four tefachim wide, you have an amount of space that is four tefachim of empty space, you could fill that empty space with schach and it's going to be kasher. The assumption is if you have an 8 amah wide sukkah, so you can start board, schach, board, schach, board, schach from each side, and in the middle the two schachs will meet at four tefachim of schach, will meet each other, will be 8 tefachim of schach in the middle. So you'll have dofen akuma, even if a four tefach board is puzzle, you have dofen akuma on either side, and you have a shir hechsher sukkah. Shirach Shusukkah only needs to be 7 tefachim, you'll have 8 tefachim in the middle. Umodir Rabbi Yudah Shem Nasra and Nesu Shurach of Arba Tefachim Kshera. That even though Rabbi Yudah's makel to be Machshir Nesarim that are less than 4 tefachim, if he's modded that if you put Minatzad, a Nesu that's 4 tefachim wide, it's kasher, because we apply Dovan Akuma, but Vein Yishenim Tachtav. But you still can't sleep under it, because it itself is Chach Pasel, it's just that we allow a Sukkah Mishum Dovan Akuma. Vayashin Tachtav Layatsi. And therefore, if you sleep under it, you're not going to be Yotzei the mitzvah of Sukkah. Okay, we'll have to stop there, and B'ezus Hashem will pick up with Itmar Hafach, and we'll talk about moving to switch, flipping the boards on their ends, on their sides, B'ezus Hashem, tomorrow. So we fell a little behind, but it's a short daf tomorrow. Thank you very much.